Thank you very much. I'm Vernon Joins, and for the next few moments, we're going to be giving some thought to silence. You know, the Bible speaks of periods of time of silence, and I know that some of us surely enjoy silence from time to time. It can be both soothing and deafening, but isn't silence wonderful at times? Don't you long for a place where you just can't hear any sound at all? It just seems as though there are times when our ears can get tired, just like our arms and our legs and our back. After being bombarded with excessive noise, the soothing effect of silence can become a highly treasured blessing. In this humanity, even Jesus encountered this feeling. The Bible records various instances of his leaving the crowds for the opportunity to recuperate from the stress and the turmoil and in solitude and silence. He cherished those times when his life could separate himself from multitudes and commune in quietness with the Heavenly Father. And Jesus urged his apostles to follow his example in Mark 6:30-32. Yes, silence can most assuredly be an oasis in the desert of life. It is strangely true, however, that silence can sometimes be just as deafening as it is soothing at other times. There most definitely are times when silence is not what is needed, when it is totally inappropriate. This is certified by the wise and the inspired words of Solomon when he said that there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak, Ecclesiastes 3:7. Nevertheless, this raises the significant problem of determining when to be silent and when to speak. Some people seem to have difficulty in making this determination. And please consider with me some situations in which the Scriptures call for our silence to be broken. In the 30th Psalm, David reacts to the goodness of God in delivering him from trouble. And David gratefully says, I will extol thee, O Jehovah, for thou hast raised me up, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Jehovah my God, I will give thanks forever for thee. Verses 1-12. In addition, he urges all of God's children to sing praise unto Jehovah. O ye saints of his, give thanks to his holy memorial name. Verse 4. The New Testament urges the same response to the goodness of God through him, that is Christ. Then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, which make the confession of his name, in Hebrews 13:15. The children of God must never be silent regarding the praise that is due God. May the silence be broken by our standing up for what is right. All that the Lord's people today would echo the sentiments of Peter and John as they adamantly declared, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, in Acts 4:19-20. The same commitment is greatly needed in the church now. Elders and preachers especially are called upon to lead the church in standing with the Lord, regardless of the unpopularity that can result from this. Surely those in positions of leadership fail to break the silence and speak up for what is right. However, that will not excuse any of the rest of us from courageously standing with our true leader. The church of today, if it is to duplicate the boldness and concern of the early church, must be able to say with Paul, for I have not shunned to declare all the counsel of God, Acts 20:27. Let us also never allow the existence of a deafening silence which occurs when Christians fail to stand against that which is wrong. Standing for the right and standing against the wrong are indeed closely related, but they are not exactly the same. True conviction and courage are required in both situations, but I believe that it requires even greater fortitude and defiance of danger to speak out in opposition to that which is wrong. With today's spirit of tolerance, and it is great, most anything can be advocated without the threat of reprisal or social rejection. It's usually allowed in the name of freedom of speech, which has been greatly abused, and breaking the silence by openly opposing something or someone is quite another matter. Many in the world, as well as some even in the church, are greatly, they're generally exceptionally tolerant. But their tolerance becomes intolerance toward anyone who dares to speak up in an effort to show that an idea, a philosophy, or an action is in violation of God's will. What are Christians to do? Are we to compromise the truth in order to get along? You know, many people go along to get along. Well, certainly not. We must speak with both our actions and our words in opposition to those things which God Himself opposes. We can know what those are by reading His book. Silence can indeed be golden, but it can also sometimes just plain yellow. Silence can be either soothing or deafening, depending on the situation. May we all courageously and boldly stand both for the truth and against error. But let us always speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Yes, God has instructed us to teach people to have faith in God, to repent of our sins, and to confess Christ as Lord and as God's Son, and then be baptized for the remission of sins. And this way, we are following the teaching that we find in the Word of God, and this will make us a Christian. And then we must be faithful to God, endure to the end in order to be saved eternally. Thank you so much for listening to the broadcast today.